Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hasta la victoria siempre. Since we're now living in Cuba with Obamacare, which is based on Castro Care, with the Fugazi and the mayorship in New York, we may as well learn some music from Cuba, and we may as well learn how to play backgammon and look for 1950s cars. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We are listening to Orquesta Aragón de Cuba, which of course is a little different than what you might expect if you're lying in a hospital bed. Right now, listening to the Savage Nation, expecting me to talk about Obamacare, you better change the channel because I'm not going to do it. I've got to be honest with you. I don't know whether it's SAD, seasonal affective disorder, as a result of the daylight savings time. It's so dark so early. It's depressing. Is it daylight savings time? Is it lack of sun? No, it may be what is going on in this country today with a naked Marxist elected as president, with a socialist, an open socialist Sandinista winning by a landslide in New York City. The subservient media refusing to report the facts on anything but what they're spoon-fed by this Marxist administration. Hey, there's a lot of reasons for depression, and I don't think I'm the only one feeling it. Look at the direction that America is headed in right now. Is it headed up or is it headed down? Huh? Well, let me ask you, 49% of Americans receive some type of public assistance. More people collect means-tested benefits today, 108 million, than there are full-time workers, 101 million. There are 1.2 million homeless children in public school, up 72% since the recession began. 46.6 million people receive food stamps, the highest number in recorded history. 46 million Americans live in poverty. Why? You think this is a mistake? Take a look at Detroit. It's the model for what's coming in many cities in America. And that's what many people are seeing. They're not stupid, by the way. And look at the direction the country's headed in another way, socially. Listen to popular music. Do you hear any joy in it? It's all techno drug joy. Where is the joy that was once heard in music? And I'll go back a while. The joy that was heard from male vocalists such as Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and the others. Are there any male vocalists who sound like that today? What happened? What happened to the energy of the white male? What do we have now? When is the last time you turned on the radio and didn't hear either some screaming techno garbage, which can't even be understood, or a rap song glorifying the worst actions that mankind has to offer? Maybe this is typifying where we're going in this country. In many ways, it mimics what happened in Cuba after Castro took over Cuba and threw out Batista. Before Castro came to power in Cuba, Cuban music was energetic, it was happy, it was up, it was full of life. After Castro, after communism, it became sullen and dark, as if the soul of this once proud nation had been stolen from it by the communists. The same trend is happening today in the United States. You can see what this administration has been doing to us. You can hear it in the music, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Now, before I go into where I'm going to go today on the show, because you don't know where I'm going to go today, I want to play a little bit more of this wonderful music that I love so much. Let's have a little more of the great Cuban music that we pulled for you today on the Savage Nation. How about Mi Chiquita by Benny Moré on the Savage Nation? What's in a name? This guy is one of the greatest singers in the history of the island of Cuba. He was known professionally as Benny Moré, Bartolomé Maximiliano Moré Gutierrez. And he was an African Cuban, and he had an all-black band that was as good as any band you've ever heard in the world. Energy like you've never heard in your life. And let me tell you why I'm playing it, because all of that died after Castro came to power. Their energy died, their voices died. And the fact is, I'm asking you again a simple question. Do you feel a sort of depression in the air? I'm not talking to those of you who are on welfare. I'm talking about those of you who are business people. I'm talking about those of you who pay taxes. I'm talking about those of you who see what's going on and have a vision of the future. If you've built a small business, whether it be a beauty parlor, or a pizza store, you have a little vision. You have a vision of what would happen if you saved your money and invested your money and borrowed the money and put it into a business. And yet you see what's going on, whether it be in New York or the nation. What do you see coming down the road? Do you feel that's as bad as I see it, or do you think that I'm overplaying this? And then I'm going to go into the medical side of this, because that's where I really want to go. What do you do to handle depression or dark moods in your life without medication? Have you tried anything that really did work? Because I'll give you some hints tonight. Many of you are addicted to Prozac and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs. I'm totally opposed to them because there have been too many heroic suicides and homicides with people who overreact or, let us say, counterreact to these drugs after a period of time. They go ballistic. All these shootings we're seeing in the country related to drugs, almost all of them were drug addicts, SSRI, Prozac-related, and the media won't report that. And yet there are natural substances that can be used which will change your mood. They've been known from the beginning of time, some of them, and some have not been known from the beginning of time. As I told you, and I'm going to tell you again, and I have nothing to hide about this, because of things in my nature, and I'm not going to go into it with the maudlin business, I have been fighting depression since I'm a child, and I've always been happy-go-lucky. I've always found a way out of it. No matter how down I've ever gone, I've always found a way up. That's what most good performers feel, by the way. And make no mistake about it, although I'm on the radio and I'm typecast in a certain direction, I'm fundamentally a nightly performer. This is a nightly performance. Largely political, yes. But it goes well beyond politics. As you know, it's news, views, and reviews. And it's going to be more of that because I can do it and I'm going to do it. Ever since I've been a child, I've had these moods, these dark moods. They come and they go, and I get out of them. And as I got older, I found nutritional, let me put it to you this way, in plain English, running, we know that. Exercise, we know that. Everyone knows this. If you're a healthy person, you know how to do it. You don't feel good, you don't stay in bed, right? Well, the best way to fight a depression is vitamin C crystals. Laugh if you want. Laugh at your own demise. I really don't care. You see, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, is a very small molecule. It's literally about the same size as sugar, because it's actually synthesized from sugar, although it doesn't have the same effects as sugar. The fact of the matter is that ascorbic acid crosses the blood-brain barrier as quickly, as faster than heroin does. I don't know if you know this. There are many ex-heroin addicts who know what I'm talking about. In fact, many, many years ago, when I was in this field of neurobiology and neurochemistry, I told you, I wrote a small book called Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, and I spent a lot of time studying brain scans, a lot of time studying the brain. I don't claim to be the greatest genius in the world in it, but I have a reasonably good intelligence, and I got to the bottom of the literature, and I discovered something interesting. There was a hospital in the Bronx at that time that picked up my book, Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, by the way. And then they looked back at some other book I had written, which was called, I believe it was called Getting Off Cocaine in 30 Days. I remember the book. Now, I did write a small book on it. I've written so many books because I've been in so many areas. And they said to me that the program worked, and it worked very well for people who were addicted to heroin at the time. Now, the reason it worked is because vitamin C is a very powerful antidepressant. In addition to that, many other phenomenal qualities. It's one of the reasons the medical establishment has tried to debunk it. After the great genius of vitamin C therapy, Linus Pauling, died, the Lilliputians at the Mayo Clinic and elsewhere ran false studies using either doses that were too low or inactive sources of it. And they said, oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't prevent colds. It doesn't do this. What do you use in your life to fight depression? I'm asking a simple question. I'm not going to do this all night. And while you're calling me at 855-400-7282, what do you do it? I want to play a little bit more of my great music tonight, my music, the music we found. We had played Benny Moré. We played Orquesta Aragón. How about another Benny Moré, Como Fue, on the Savage Nation? Como Fue, 855. No, that's too depressing. No, El Bodeguero by Orquesta Aragón. El Bodeguero by Orquesta Aragón. It's a cha-cha-cha. I don't like it. It reminds me of Teased Hair and Jackson Heights. I don't want to hear it. No, I can't. Canoe and bad perfume. I don't want to play that. No, and leather seats that were covered with, no, with plastic and cold nights in Alley Pond Park. No, I don't want to hear that one. No, thank you. Let's go back to the top. I want to hear, where was the good one that we had earlier on the show? There was a great one. Victor in Miami, Florida. Victor, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're listening on what, WFTL or what? Where are you listening, Victor? Welcome to the program.
Maybe the last 6 months, and I agree most of the things that you say. And now you talk about my country, Cuba. What you say is the real truth. All the good music, all the good things, all going from Cuba since the communists took over. Cuba is like a desert. Cuba is something horrible. When they took over, they destroyed my island.
That's right. They destroyed the spirit of the wonderful Cuban people. They took their heart out of them. It's exactly what I see going on in this country, Victor. You can almost feel it through the music in America. It was once a bold music. It was a music that was bold and masculine. And look what the music has become. Wherever you go in America, it's whiny chick music. Every department store, every elevator, whiny chicks whining about something. Where is America? You can hear it in the music. It didn't start under Obama, but boy, has it escalated.
Oh, this president is destroying, is doing the same thing Castro started to do in Cuba 54 years ago. The same thing is happening.
See that? You know, Victor, I'm really glad you called because I see it and I hear it. And that's exactly why I am doing the show tonight. I'm trying to change up the pace. People talk about it from different perspectives. I have to do it from, you know what the Cuban, what the Spanish word la duende means, Victor?
Yes.
What does la duende mean in Spanish? Do you know what la duende means?
Yes.
No, what do you think it means, la duende? Could you tell, do you know what that means in English?
What
I don't think so. It's a very complicated word. La duende means the soul. That's what it means, basically. It's a translation, a loose translation, la duende. And either a piece of music has la duende or it doesn't. In other words, it could be flat music with no heart, no soul, or it could have a soul or a spirit in it, right? It's the same with everything in the world, whether it be a piece of writing, it could be a piece of talking, a piece of singing, a piece of dancing. Either it's stiff or it has soul. Romney would be somebody who had no duende, for example, right? Strangely enough, as flawed as Christie is, the people liked him because he looked like he had a heart and soul. Honest to God, that really happened. And the fact is that we're talking about depression in America tonight on the Savage Nation, heard on 200 stations, and it will be going on to more stations in Major League prime time beginning January 1st. And by the way, I'm not going to change my show. If I come into the show a day like tonight, and I don't feel very good for a number of reasons, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to put on a ha-ha face and a ha-ha voice. What I'm trying to say to you is America is going now where Cuba went when Castro and his cohort gangsters took over Cuba. It's exactly the same rhetoric that we heard in the campaign in New York City, which was get the rich, we want equality. In other words, it's class warfare. Castro used it, Lenin used it, Marx used it, Trotsky used it, Chavez used it, Obama uses it. Fugazi used it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Cochero. Cochero, pare, pare, cochero. Cochero, pare. I love this song. I mean, you got to remember, I was a kid who grew up in Queens in an English-speaking home. Actually, some of them spoke. My grandmother never spoke a word of English in her life. Would you believe that? Remember, I'm an immigrant son. I am a true American in that regard. And I have one foot in the old country, one foot in the new country. And I'm not a spring chicken in that regard. But I remember very, very well that my grandparents, my parents for sure, never said a negative word about America. Never once. Although they struggled. They were poor. They never put this country down. They never had contempt for this country. I won't say they ran around and put flags out of the window. I'm not going to put it in that regard. They struggled too hard to have that love affair, that type of love affair that you see in movies of the immigrant people. But they loved the country because they knew that they would wait and then their son, their man-child in the promised land would have his piece of the pie, meaning me. Well, let me tell you what happened without complaining again. I was thrown off track for 40 years by the socialists, by the social engineers, who said, you know what? Yeah, you got an A average, you got a PhD from Berkeley, you got a great degree, you've written 6 books, but you know what? Oh, and you got 2 children and you're an older guy, but you're not getting a job. We're not giving it to you because we got affirmative action now. We got to give it to people with less qualifications, drop dead. It took me 30 years to overcome that. Lesser men would have died. They would have snapped. They would have rolled over and died, but I didn't, because I am an immigrant son, and I have a push card in my soul. You understand that? I am a street weed. I am the weed that grows up between the cracks in the pavement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is like having a really good product in a store and the cash registers don't work.
Yeah.
The buck stops with me.
The buck stops with you, sure. Harry B. Obama. It's amazing how we can get away with it. It's astounding. It's just astounding to me. 9 gambling casinos are going to open in New York State. You hear? There's no end to this. The corruption, the naked corruption, the graft and the corruption in this administration. These Democrats are the dirtiest I've ever seen in my life. And they're stupid, they're not. James Simpson of Accuracy and Media wrote a great article today. He says, Grand Theft Obama, the biggest heist in U.S. history. He said, our nation is being stolen right before our eyes. The American people are being robbed of their livelihoods, their security, and their freedom. President Obama, he writes, makes grand sweeping gestures and delivers soaring rhetoric about helping the poor and achieving fairness. But he merely draws our attention away from the hand that is reaching deep into our pockets, and he goes on. And I'm not going to go into the Obamacare scam. We know that that's CastroCare. I've said it for 3 years now. But the police state that's emerging is the thing that should bother you. The police state of these goons. The police state under this Al Capone-like administration, while they're fleecing us, paying off his cronies, debt limit brinkmanship, the green job scam. Do you know how much money has been stolen under the scam of green jobs? Do you know how much? Well, green energy, about $150 billion that we know of has been stolen with no results whatsoever. Okay, you want to go down the list? How about the company that built the Obamacare website for $700 million and is now being given, I don't know, $93 million to fix the website that they broke? Who is that person? The man is an Obama donor. It's astounding that at any other time, this would have landed the FBI at their doorstep. But the FBI was, a long time ago, brought to heel, as the military is being brought to heel through the firing and the purging of the combat generals. The voter manipulation alone should worry even the most blasé individual out there. No voter ID laws. People can vote 3 times. Illegal aliens vote in this country. The election was stolen, as you know, in Virginia by permitting illegal aliens to vote against Cuccinelli and by running a fake third-party candidate who was funded by a Democrat donor. This is something that you would have seen in a South American nation not too long ago. And it's going on right now under this wonderful man called Barack Obama. And he gets away with it because his fellow travelers in the media like what he's doing. Do you understand that? They want America transformed. So anyway, I didn't want to go there. But it leads there. It leads there. I know people who are self-made, very wealthy. They've worked all their lives, and they're depressed. They never, ever talked about it in their lives. They feel it. Because you see, if they have the vision to have made a fortune through hard work, then they have the vision to see what's coming in America under these demagogues. They're signaling what they're doing, and they're doing it. Well, why go on and on about it, you say? What can you do about it? Well, there's another element to it, which is the straight-out criminal element. I remember a scene, many scenes. Unfortunately for you, I watch too many movies. I have to admit it. As you know, I'm a part-time fiction writer. I've had two bestsellers, Abuse of Power and A Time for War. They're very good books. And as a result of my watching movies, too many movies, I admit, ever since I'm a little boy, maybe I should have been in the movie business altogether, because I do like fantasy. And sometimes I have to stop myself and say, am I imagining what I see, or am I seeing, and is this not an imagination? In other words, what I see going on with Obama, I ask myself, because I'm willing to open myself up to self-doubt. In order for me to do this show every night, I can't just get up here like a robot and spit it out. I got to ask myself, how much of this is real? How much of this is imagined? And so I say to myself, is this as bad as I think it is under Obama? And unfortunately, my conclusion is it's much worse. It's much worse than I think it is. Because I can take off my fiction writer's Google glasses, and I can put on my scientist's Google glasses. I can put on my PhD's glasses, and I can look at things as clearly as a chemist can tell you what the elements are in a formula after some analysis. And I'm telling you that if it looks like Leninism, if it talks like Leninism, if it walks like Leninism, it is Leninism. That's why I said he's a Leninist, not a Marxist. People have it wrong. It's a little different than Karl Marx. Lenin was different in that regard. But that's not important. That's splitting hairs, and it's not the important point. The important point is that all Marxist or Leninist or socialist regimes are coupled with a criminal class. Criminality unlike any you've ever seen in your life. You have to watch movies to know what I'm talking about. The criminals that were portrayed in The Godfather are very real to me, especially scenes that Mario Puzo wrote, which were then translated into film by Francis Ford Coppola when he was still doing movies that were, let us say, relevant. In that movie, I'll never forget the scene in GF1 where the Marlon Brando character, Don Corleone, he's after he was shot, and he's an older man. At that time, he was 55. He died. I remember the gravestone, because men died younger then. A guy 55 then was a guy 75 today. I know it from my own father. They aged rapidly. Their lives were hard, and their diets were bad. They didn't understand how to take care of themselves that well, and they ate pretty badly. But nevertheless, Don Corleone, is played by Marlon Brando, was in the vineyard of his house back in Long Beach. He had a little, you know, with grapes, the vineyards, and many Italian families did around me in Queens. I remember it. And he's walking in the cardigan sweater, and he's playing with he's sitting with his son, Michael Corleone, as played by Al Pacino. And then he says to him, Michael says to him, "What's the matter, Dad?" And he says, "I don't know." He says, "I thought one day you'd be Governor Corleone, Senator Corleone, one of the peasant avantes. Don't worry, Michael, we'll get there one day." And I get chills when I listen to that scene again, because Mario Puzo lived it. He knew what he was saying. Now, why did he want to be Senator Corleone? Why did he want to be Governor Corleone? Can you figure it out? Can you put two and two together? What, he wanted to be governor or senator for the betterment of the people? He was a gangster. He was a criminal. He dealt in robbing and stealing and murdering. And he figured that the biggest murderers would be somebody in an even more powerful position. That's how the movie was written. And so I look around in my country today, I say, come on, I'm not a baby. I didn't wake up yesterday and say, all of a sudden it's corrupt. I grew up in a time where there was naked, like Wild West corruption in the country. But there was a line that was never crossed. And that line was the line of national security. Never in my time would a corrupt governor or a corrupt senator ever, ever lay down with the enemy. Never! It wouldn't have lasted 10 seconds. Today, the lines have been so blurred that he treats our friends like enemies and our enemies like friends. I wake up this morning and I say, are you imagining this, Michael? Well, I'll give you one story, and you ask yourself if I'm imagining it. It looks like he's going to stop Israel from defending itself, and he's going to let Iran develop a nuclear bomb. I said, you wrote about that in Trickle Down Tyranny. You said he treats friends like enemies and enemies like friends. So that line would never have been crossed when I was a child or a teenager or a young man. Never. Never. I don't care how, let us say, manipulative a president was. No one becomes a president if they're nice or they're not calculating. You're living in what world? I don't know. You want to live in the fantasy of the founding fathers being in some world different than that. They were pretty rough guys. Pretty rough guys, and they knew how to swing an election. Let me tell you that. Stop fantasizing about the founding fathers with the wooden teeth already. Do me a favor. Stop putting them on a pedestal. They were politicians, they were brilliant, and they knew how to write, and they knew how to speak. But, having said that, they were patriots. That's all I care about. Remember the motto of the Savage Nation, Borders, Language, Culture. How many years have I preached this motto to you? Since 1994 when I began in radio. 1994, Borders, Language, Culture. Can you tell me that this president, this Congress, this Senate respects our borders, respects our language, and respects our culture? You know you can't. They laugh at our borders. They've melted our borders. They have turned America's language into a Tower of Babel. Obama has said if you wish to get Obamacare, which is nothing more than Castro care, he has 150 languages ready for translation. Now, just on the face of it, you know that they're not citizens. How can they speak 150 languages? How could they become a citizen without speaking our language? It's impossible. For my father to have become a citizen, he had to speak English. He had to know the rudiments of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He had to know who the presidents had been going back to Washington. He had to know English to become a citizen. Certainly, if there was a public benefit, which he never would have taken, he would rather have thrown himself off a fire escape than take a dime from the government. He wouldn't take it. He didn't need it. He worked very hard. But those who took public benefits had to speak English. There were no, you're going to go into a welfare office in New York in those days and ask for a check in 150 languages? Impossible. So I ask you, Borders, Language, and Culture, can you tell me that you can seriously say that this nation is run by patriotic governors and patriotic Senate, patriotic president? Well, there are some, obviously. Obviously, there are some, but generally not, and that is why we're talking about it tonight. That is why I tell you many people are depressed. It's not a seasonal affective disorders. It's not SAD. It's not daylight savings time. No, my friends. Cochero, pare, cochero. Driver, stop. Stop, driver. Cochero, pare, cochero. Driver, stop. Stop, driver. Cochero, pare, cochero. Driver, stop. Stop, driver. Someone stop Obama before he takes us over the cliff. Cochero, pare, cochero. This song is dedicated to Barack Obama. We're asking the coachman to stop the coach. Stop before you take us all over the cliff, my friend. On that cheerful note, I'll take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Not even he knows what he may say next.
Michael Savage, weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. Yeah. We'll get there, Michael. Don't worry. One day it'll be Governor Savage, be Senator Savage. Just think, we'll have gambling casinos in New York State. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, we'll get there. We'll have Obamacare. We'll get there one day, Michael. Don't worry. Once we get the medical system, there's no limits to what we can scam. Don't worry about it. $10,000 for an aspirin won't be too much. Trust me. That's just a joke. Just a joke, you understand. I like to joke around. I like to joke around. That's all. It's the Savage Nation. If you care to join this conversation, it's 855-407-282. You can call on anything that I'm talking about. I don't know that I'm going to do the news tonight. I just want to say this. Look, I got huge competition. I'm running up against major competition in this time slot. And I made it big here. I moved the needle. And I'll tell you this, if I can make it here at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Western, which I have, I can make it anywhere, which I will, which is 3 p.m. Eastern and noon West Coast time. I'm just telling you that when it comes, it's going to be like a tidal wave, and get ready for it. And someone told me, he said, put four zeros behind your audience numbers right now, because that's how much bigger your audience is going to be. He said, so are you going to change your show? What are you going to do? I said, nope, there's nothing to change. I've been doing the same Savage Nation style show since 1994. You know where I'm coming from politically, and I've been typecast, so I'm not going to change it because that's who I am. But as you well know, I will not get stuck on politics because they're boring at a certain point, especially if you keep beating a drum with one stick on one drum over and over again. So I would rather do my news, views, and reviews. That's why I'm trying to bring you some music tonight, some movie, you know, an older movie tonight, mixed with politics, because otherwise I can't go on with this. And for those of you who are confused and don't know what I'm talking about, those of you who say, well, I'm a liberal and I think people have a right to medical care, people have a right to a house, people have a right to education, people have a right to this. Can I ask you something? Does anyone have a right to your labor? Is there a right to sex change operations? It's all political. There's no right if you're a man to say you want to be a woman. You can walk around and say that to yourself, but you don't have a right to demand I pay for that mutilation, do you? Look, you're going to find out that I'm right when you're lying in a hospital bed years from now and you're suffering from a disease, let's say, a condition that's easily treatable. But you might be over the age of 67, or you don't fit some other government-mandated formula, and then your right to live may suddenly cease, and then you will have your death sentence. And while you're laying there dying because the government won't treat you because you didn't meet the right quota, somebody else who's deeply connected to the Democrat machine will be getting a facelift or gender reassignment surgery while you die on a stretcher. So while you're there screaming against the Tea Party, you should understand that your last great hope in this country are people like yourself who understand that the system is totally broken and corrupt. And the Tea Party are people like you who want some honesty in government. Do you understand that? That's the whole story. That's the whole story in a nutshell. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. I'm ready to take some calls. I don't think I took many. I took only one. And if you want to talk, this is the place to do it. I just don't want any kind of pretentious contempt for the Tea Party on the show. I could do without it. I listen to it all day long on the channels that I flip in and out of. I can't watch it. They don't know what they're talking about. Where is the pretentious contempt for Obama, who's the biggest fraud in the history of government? Why isn't there any pretentious contempt from the liberals who think they're so smart because they put out sophomoric? They sound like they're at a sorority party, you know, sneering at everybody. Whatever. 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 And now if you think that they're going to stop the coach they're driving, you're mistaken. As I speak to you, that sellout turncoat Tom McCann, who should be selling shoes, not selling amnesty, is right there with Obama right now eating, talking about putting the final knife into the bull of America, the final knife into our heart, passing amnesty so the fat cats can have cheap labor and so that the Democrats can have an eternal party plurality. Now, if you think I don't like immigrants, you're mistaken. I'm an immigrant son. And I'll tell you a little personal story. I saw a gardener with his wife and his children putting up a fence in my neighborhood the other day. Mexican guy. I saw it go up. I couldn't believe how well they were doing it. It started with them digging holes. Children as young as five were working, digging holes the first day. So I stopped and talked to him yesterday. I said, can I have your card? I said, you do beautiful work. And the stonework. And they did it in a team. A whole family came out. The father, the mother, the daughters, the son. The first day they dug the holes. Now they're up to the more skilled workers who are putting up the stone. I understand the dignity of labor, believe me. I also understand the dignity of legal immigration.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, welcome back to The Savage Nation. No pseudo-excitement coming out of my voice tonight. No pseudo-righteous indignation. It is what it is, that's all. I'm a little down tonight. And I'm down for a number of reasons. It's not the weather. It's not the seasonal affective disorder. It's the fact that America has embraced socialism to an extent they never would have imagined. But this has been a war. A war unlike any I've ever seen, a social war. And the parallels to past times in history in other nations is overwhelmingly clear to those of us who know our history and do not want to repeat it. And those of you who do not know history and are going to repeat it, maybe you ought to spend a few minutes reading a little history. You see, whenever a dictator comes to power or a dictatorship encircles the people, one of the things that the average person doesn't get is that the real power in the country and the real the powerful business interests are never, never, ever the targets of the dictatorship in the beginning. They let them make a lot of money. They let them make more money, in fact, than they ever made before. They let them not pay taxes, like in the case of many corporations in this country who put Obama in power. They're paying zero taxes on U.S. earnings. Zero. So they're happy. They're getting what they want. Meanwhile, they tighten the noose on the middle class. Always the middle class is who they go after. They pander to the very rich and the very poor, and they squeeze the middle class. They squeeze and they squeeze and they squeeze. This entire Obamacare fight is going to come out of the hide of the middle class. The poor aren't going to pay for it. The rich who pay no taxes aren't going to pay for it. It's the guy who owns a small business who's going to pay $20,000 a year more for medical, for health care, who's going to support the sex change operations, who's going to support the illegal aliens, who's going to support the diabetic who refuses to stop eating sugar, who won't take care of herself so she can go to an Indian gambling casino and throw her welfare check into a machine with a diabetes arm shaking and a cigarette in her mouth. What do you think? This is all fiction? It's not fiction. Just go there and take a look who's in a gambling casino while you're working your behind off. And you'll understand why socialist dictatorships have always targeted the middle class. Because the middle class is too busy to fight back. They're working. They don't have the time to go march in the street and scream and yell. They just work hard and they pay. They don't want no one. So then along comes the Tea Party, which is basically from the middle class, from the taxpayer, from the worker, from the business owner, and says enough is enough. And now what happens is they unleash hell itself upon them. They smear them. The unions attack them. The Congressional Black Caucus smears them. It calls them racist. The union says, let's take them out. The media, in a relentless campaign, smears the Tea Party, who is basically the taxpayer in this country, until eventually the average person doesn't know what's true or false. I think it was Goebbels who said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And so, one day after the other, Axelrod gives the instructions to the networks and to his cohorts through Twitter of what the marching orders are. And every day, like a drip, 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 they poison the political mind of the country, where the criminals are made into patriots and the patriots are made into criminals. And at the same time, the middle class is squeezed and squeezed for every dime until it can take no more, and then they squeeze some more. Years ago, I wrote a book called The Enemy Within. It's one of my earlier books, not my first by any means. It was published in 2003, can you believe it? And this book was entitled Michael Savage, The Enemy Within, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Schools, Faith, and Military. Oh, yeah, I was wrong. But I dedicated the book with a quote from someone who you may remember because it's been picked up. And the quote went like this. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. Excuse me a minute. For the traitor appears not a traitor.
He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator and statesman, 42 B.C. And the rhetoric I heard coming from de Blasio was exactly that, appealing to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He kept talking about how there was inequality in New York City as though it was stolen from the poor, when the poor, in fact, don't work at all. It wasn't stolen from the poor. It was people who worked for it. But he, of course, is using class warfare, the way his boss Obama used class warfare, the way their cousin Castro used class warfare, the way their friend Chavez used class warfare, the way their grandfather Marx used class warfare, the way their other grandfather Lenin used class warfare to get where they want to go. Now, how did that work out for Russia? How did class warfare work out for Russia? And how did class warfare work out for the people of Cuba? And how is class warfare working out for the American people? I rest my case. I've made my case over and over again. I have to do it in a new way every night. I'm trying it tonight with music, playing some Cuban music, and telling you what happened when Castro took over. The joy went out of the Cuban people. It became a different nation entirely. And a Cuban man called from Miami saying, you're 100% right. If you heard the first hour, what Castro did, he said, Obama's doing in this country. He's an educated man because he lived through it. He knows it. He can smell it. He can feel it. He lives it. The average American is a moron. A moron. Just give him sports. Give him a Prozac. Give him a hamburger. Give him some pornography. He is no more than a, well, let me leave it at that. I don't have to debase the average man. The average man is a debased creature to begin with. And that's why we are where we are. Now, all of this wouldn't be happening if we had an independent media, which disappeared quite a while ago, and if we had an opposition party, which we don't have. How do we have an opposition party if one of the senior members of the opposition party, meaning the Republican so-called John McCain, a traitor, a turncoat by any definition, and a crazy man on top of it all, is in the White House tonight conniving with Obama how to force amnesty down our throats? Amnesty for 30 million at least illegal aliens. That's what McCain, that's the opposition party. Can you believe this? Can you believe it's come down to exactly what I've been warning you, that we live in a one-party system with two-card Monty, that it's an oligarchy? I've been preaching this since 1994. You say, well, maybe you should hang up your spurs because you haven't had any effect. Maybe you should stop, Michael. You've done it for 20 years and it got worse. Well, don't blame me for it. I tried my best. Now, this is not a concession speech tonight. I'm not going to announce that I'm quitting radio tomorrow because there's no point in fighting. I'm not announcing that I'm about to disappear into the darkness of the night and put on a hat and move to Miami and just sit and drink all day and look at the sunsets. No, I'm not ready for that quite yet. I'm not quite sure that the victory of the opposition is complete. I'm not quite sure it's as hopeless as it seems in the darkest of the dark moments. I'm not quite sure we can't turn this around. I always believe that God sees the truth but waits. I always have the faith that Obama will make some catastrophic error that will finally bring his corrupt administration down like a corrupt house of cards. Now, he may have done it with the Obamacare debacle. He is apologizing. His hair is turning gray. He's trying to spin it every day, but it's not working. That could be the linchpin. On the other hand, the man is relentless like all true revolutionaries. They never stop squeezing the middle class. You would say, gee, it's enough. Look what he's done to this country. Can he give us a break? No, he won't give you a break. He broke the medical system. Now he wants to break the immigration system. Before that, he broke the social code of America. Before that, he broke the military. You go down the list, there's not anything he's touched that he hasn't destroyed. And he's not finished. He's a young man. He's strong. He's just hitting his stride. There's over 3
more years of this revolutionary in office, because we live in a dictatorship in America. If we had what was considered to be a parliamentary system, there would be a vote of no confidence brought upon him by the opposition party, and I can guarantee you the Democrat power would be thrown out. I can guarantee it. At this time, if we had a parliamentary system and we had a legitimate opposition party, they would bring up a vote of no confidence and be thrown out of office. At least the people would have a semblance of a feeling of a participatory democracy. We don't have it. We have a dictatorship punctuated by elections every few years. In between the elections, it's a dictatorship. By any name, it's a dictatorship punctuated by elections. This is one man's opinion. This is not seasonal affective disorder speaking. This is Michael Savage. The phone number here is 855-407-282. And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry for you. Then you don't know what's going on, because it is going to get so much worse before it gets better that you can't even understand it. Now let's take a call or two on the program. Nicola, Dallas, Texas, on the great KLIF. Welcome to the program. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm calling to graciously thank you for providing the American people with honest and true journalism and the truth of the old American way and the future of the American way. And Fox News could take a definite, definite example from your truth.
I understand. Many of you like me very much. They do a good job. They do as good a job as anyone's going to do in this day and age, but they're not the problem. Fox News is not the problem. It's CNN, which has become useless. They do nothing. MSNBC is a fanatic group of idiotic children trying to sound smart by being sarcastic, but they've lost their audience a long time ago. But I appreciate I have an audience. That's all that matters. It is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yes, indeed, my friends. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, and America is perhaps the most ignorant Western nation on the planet. By design, by the way, not by accident. After 30 years of leftist indoctrination and a purposeful omission of U.S. history and traditionalism, you have a nation of empty heads. Girls just want to have fun. Girls just want to have fun. Instead of babies, they have dogs. Now, I'm a dog lover myself. But every time I look around and I see another white girl walking down the street with a dog, I say to myself, boy, did they miss the boat. Boy, did they buy a bill of goods from the women's movement and get sold short. They're real happy, huh, with their dog, aren't they? They're real happy. That's their whole life now, a dog, not a baby. Whatever happened to the maternal instinct I used to hear about when I was a young man? Even when I was a young guy, we used to hear that girls have a maternal instinct. It was related to when we were dating. I'm talking about in college. There were guys who got the sympathy dates. And I said, how did he wind up with a girl like her? I said, oh, you know, women have a maternal instinct. Have you heard the word maternal instinct, the phrase used recently? Do you have phrases that have meaning, have been dropped from the vocabulary of our nation. Again, when I say borders, language, culture, you can put this one into the latter category. What do you mean maternal instinct? What is that, a sexist phrase? No, there are instincts. All species have instincts. And all genders have instincts. No matter what the social engineers will tell you, we have instincts. And many of us understand this. Now I'll take your calls. Greg on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic, please? Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Awaiting your debut at 3 o'clock on WABC in New York.
Yeah, I am, too. I am, too. But I have to get through the seasonal affective disorder period first.
Yes. Well, Michael, I know it's a national show, but I'm telling you, as a former Wall Streeter, I traded options on the floor of the American Stock Exchange and the NYSE. I was there in the heyday of the 80s, when New York was a bustling, energetic, powerful city. Michael, the rhetoric, the almost demonic tone of his acceptance speech.
You're talking about the communist who just won in New York, the lifetime left-wing fanatic socialist communist Fugazi who just won, correct?
Absolutely, Michael.
I don't know if the people heard my show last night. We played his speech. All he talked about was pitting one class of New Yorkers against another. His entire rhetoric was that of Fidel Castro or Karl Marx. It was naked. He was not even disguised. He knows how to ride. He knows how to ride demagoguery. He knows how to ride that wagon. He knows how to push that starship Marxism.
He made an announcement. He's going for the children. He's going to tax the wealthy, and he's going to have free kindergarten and preschool. And today in the Wall Street Journal, I read about his meeting with Bloomberg yesterday, a very cold meeting, where he said he is going to enlist the help of his wife, who is a poet and a speechwriter, as the number one person besides himself who's going to vet all the people that he's going to hire to run the greatest city in the world, New York.
Well, that's terrific. Take a look at her background. You'll see who's going to run the once greatest city in the world. Maybe he can do what all communists do. He can hire the squeegee men to run his administration in some capacity. He can hire the squeegee men and give them dirty rags to go around the city and intimidate people at traffic lights. Maybe he can tax them to get them away from them. Look, I hope to God that this is just hysteria and he's going to do a fine job. But I know my history and I know what liberalism will bring. There's almost no way he's going to be able to manage that city without destroying it. New York City will look like Obama's website within a very short period of time. If you think that Obamacare's website is broken, you're right. Wait until you see what Mr. Wilhelm de Blasio does to New York City.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So there's a lot of news out there. I mean, it's all over the world. The Israeli warplanes strike shipment of Russian missiles at a Syrian port. Medicare paid millions to dead patients, illegal aliens, probe finds. The Pentagon put out a manual saying white, Christian, heterosexual males have unfair advantages. It's beyond belief what's going on under this soft totalitarianism of Obama. And I am talking about what he's about to do, not what he has already done. If you want to look at the past, you can't stop what's coming down the pike, so to speak. The crisis that will hit America if he passes amnesty, it's an incurable price to pay. Incurable, incurable. It's the final cancer for America. So many of you are saying, no, deport all illegals, self-deport all illegals. Actually, I came up with the idea of self-deportation 3 books ago, and it was picked up and run with. You'll see that I was the one who came up with it. But that's the equivalent as I've got. You see, let me pull back. It's emotionally satisfying to say that they should self-deport, that if you cut off their jobs and benefits, they'll go home. It feels good to say that. But I am now Jonah inside the whale. I've been swallowed by the whale. I'm looking at the world from inside the great white whale. You're looking at it from the rowboat or from the whaling ship. It's two different perspectives. I've been swallowed by the whale, if you read Melville. You have to read Melville to understand this, and I don't want to sound pseudo-intellectual, nor do I want to sound pseudo-nor-intellectual. I'm just telling you that I have a different perspective than you do because I'm inside the whale. And what I'm saying to you comes from a very pragmatic point of view. You're not deporting all the illegals, nor is Obama getting amnesty for all the illegals. There must be a pragmatic solution to this problem. Saying that all illegals should be deported is the equivalent of Palestinians saying, kick all the Jews out of Israel. Kick them all into the Mediterranean. Send all the Jews back to Europe. Or on the other side is the equivalent of the fanatical religious Zionists saying, kick the Palestinians out of Judea and Samaria. They don't belong there. They don't belong there at all. Kick them out. Is that ever going to happen? Do you think that the Palestinians will ever kick out all the Jews? No. Do you think that the Jews will ever kick out the Palestinians? No. There's got to be a solution there as well. It's inevitable. At a certain point, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, demographics are destiny. And that is why Bill Clinton broke the border with Mexico. He knew this. He knew this. He knew demographically he could destroy the country with breaking the border. And I know who he used as his INS chief. One of the most venal rats in the history of American government. I won't mention her name. I don't want to tell you what I wish upon her every time I think about her name, what she did to this country. Name begins with a D and last initial is M. I saw what she was doing. She broke the border with Mexico. And the plan was, from the position of the Council on Foreign Relations, is flood America with as many third worlders as you can in order to create such a mishmash and such a scrambled egg that the elitists could do anything they wanted with this tough nut called America. They still haven't broken the nut yet. They're very close. They had their demagogue. They got him in power. They slipped him through the cracks. He's wrecking everything he touches. He's Obama the destroyer. But now if we let him get away with the amnesty deal, it's the end of America forever. It'll be over. I'm just telling you. There's no way we can survive this. It's impossible. The entire conservative movement, God bless them all, is focused on stopping something that has become law, that has been tested by the Supreme Court. And at the same time that they're working on that, Obama's working on passing amnesty. So I'm going to focus only on why I oppose amnesty for illegal aliens. Either you're going to play chess and maybe win a few games, or you're going to continue to play checkers and lose every game in town. I oppose amnesty for illegal aliens for the following reasons. First of all, let me set the stage. I am an immigrant son. Does that give me any special rights to talk about immigration? No. But I am an American, and all we've heard are the voices of non-citizens screaming from every rooftop with their friends in the Catholic Church, with their friends at Google, with their friends at Facebook, with their friends at NBC, with their friends in the White House, with their friends everywhere but in the streets of America where the American people live. We pay the taxes. And I will tell you why I, an immigrant son, oppose amnesty for illegals. One, it will drain federal funds. Who is going to pay for the... First of all, who's going to pay for Obamacare? So let's start with what you're focused on. We know it's an unaffordable, broken system to begin with. So the very same people who cannot put up a website are now going to flood America with illegal aliens and tell us that they know whether they're criminals or not. It will reward lawbreakers. It will punish immigrants who play by the rules. American workers will lose their jobs to immigrants, especially entry-level workers. It will increase crime. 33% of all prisoners in America are here illegally. And they're not in prison for being here illegally. They're here in prison because they committed major league felonies over and over again. Robberies, rapes, homicides, drug deals. One-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. Will Obama then say, you know what, we granted amnesty to these 11 million, 50 million illegal aliens, but, you know, they're separated from their fathers and brothers and their uncles and their nephews who are in prison. So we're now going to open up the Bastille and let everyone out of the prisons. Is that what you want? It will change our national identity. It will make us more vulnerable to terrorists. It will create a permanent Democratic majority. We don't know the background of these people. It will break the health care system, which is already broken. It will break the justice system. It will break the hospital system. Shall I go on? Would you like to hear some more of my arguments against amnesty for illegal aliens? Because, again, I have to repeat, the conservatives in the media, and God bless them all, we need every last one of the voices, are playing checkers or backgammon, while Obama and his minions are playing electronic chess and moving ahead now to pass another monstrous law that will never, ever be overturned unless we stop it before it's passed. And that means we have to oppose amnesty by attacking Republicans and attacking Democrats who are being lobbied around the clock by illegal aliens and their other cohorts. We need security first. We need to fix the unemployment problem. 47% of Americans are paying no income taxes. Do we need to add to their ranks? In the last several months, millions of undocumented aliens have come pouring over the border from Mexico knowing that they will be given instant citizenship. Does that make them good citizens? We tried this once before. It didn't work then. It will not work now. We've tried this during the Reagan administration when Reagan passed immigration reform and he allowed roughly 2.7 million illegal aliens to become citizens. And we were told that in exchange we would have security measures and it would never happen again. Well, it happened again. New immigrants are naturally aligned with liberals. 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 So it's more votes for Democrats. Why are Republicans in favor of it? There will be greater income inequality.
There will be more bilingualism. There will be more cultural balkanization. There will be more ethnic unrest. There will be more crime. There will be more Mexican and other foreign government intervention in our internal affairs. More poor people will lead to progressively bigger government financed by progressively higher taxes, causing progressively slower growth in productivity. What does that mean? If you put these 11 to 50 million illegal aliens on a path to citizenship, as Obama wants, that means that within a few years they will qualify for the full panoply of government programs, more than 80 means-tested welfare programs, as well as Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare. How are we going to pay for this? The lifetime fiscal cost, that is, the benefits received minus taxes paid, for the average illegal alien in this country after amnesty will be around $590,000, according to the Heritage Foundation. Amnesty is a terrible, terrible idea. It will be a disaster for America. And again, I want to reiterate, while my good friends in the media, especially in the radio media, are focused on Obamacare, I must remind all of them that Obamacare is the law. It was tested by the Supreme Court and passed. What are you fighting about it when it's already law? And Obama knows he won on that, so he's moving on to his next big socialist plank, which is illegal alien amnesty. If you can stop him there, you can stop him everywhere. If you can't stop him here, then you can't stop him anywhere. And I say we oppose amnesty for illegals. I know many of you are confused because you're decent people and you say, well, it's a nation of immigrants. Yeah, well, we're not a nation of illegal immigrants. That's number one. Or you will say, well, give everyone a chance. Who's going to pay for it? You? Haven't you seen what Obamacare is already doing? Now what, you want to give over your health care system to non-citizens? How's that going to work out when you go to a hospital? Is the line going to be shorter or longer, all you good liberals? Think about it before you open up. Before you open up your howitzers on me. When you go to a hospital for care a year from now, would the line be longer or shorter if you granted amnesty to 50 million illegal aliens? Do you oppose or approve amnesty for illegal aliens? I want to read you a poll on illegal immigration amongst Hispanics, Latinos. I use the word Hispanic. I don't like the word Latino. Latino has almost no meaning. It's a political phrase. Hispanic is the more correct designation of individuals of Hispanic heritage. According to polls amongst Hispanic voters, 60% of registered Hispanic voters support amnesty to undocumented immigrants. Listen, only if illegals are reduced by 90%. Did you hear that? This is amongst registered Hispanic voters. They say, okay, we'll grant amnesty to undocumented only if illegal immigration is reduced by 90%. 56% of registered Hispanic voters oppose allowing illegal aliens to obtain federal benefits until the 90% goal is reached. Hispanic voters ranked immigration reform last among a list of four priority issues behind one, the economy, two, health care, and three, education. 60% of Hispanic voters support tougher enforcement. 64% of Hispanic voters support the use of E-Verify. So even amongst Hispanic voters, this is a loser for the Democrat Party. Yet Obama is pushing it, radically pushing it. Why? Why is he pushing it? Why is the soft totalitarian Barack Hussein Obama pushing amnesty at a time like this when his Obamacare is such a disaster? Why is he doing it? You don't understand the mind, not of the progressive, but of the international socialist. You have no idea what you're dealing with here. You have to go back to my great books, because I don't think there's going to be another one like it. I have one in the works and one or two novels, and that's all that's left in me. But if you go back to Trickle Up Poverty, I have a great chapter on the immigration disaster where he erased our borders with Mexico, and I describe exactly how it happened and what he was doing and why he wanted to do it and basically who he's in cahoots with. I saw this coming. So tonight it's more like a regular radio show than my normal free association radio shows, which most of you love. But at a time like this, I can't free associate. I have to give you the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I'll be right back to do so.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Mas Dale, Savage Show. It is the
one and only Borders, Language, and Culture home. And let me tell you something. We're talking about Obama's relentless revolutionary socialism, one thing after another, hitting us one after the other. And by the way, nothing works. Whatever he does doesn't work. How did his solar energy scheme work? It was a disaster. It blew up in his face. But you wouldn't know it, because the scam artists are the same people who sit on the boards of the media networks. I've warned you about this for 20 years. Interlocking corporate directorships. So if a man owns a major network and he sits on a solar company and he's a contributor to the administration, is he going to put on his network that the company he owned scammed out $1 billion? No. So you don't read about it. Life goes on. Just keep throwing them food stamps. Throw them government bennies. Throw them a phone. Throw them everything free. Get free and they'll shut their mouths. And keep adding people to the welfare rolls, where now there's more people on government benefits than there are people working. Now, how does this work out? You can't run the trajectory of that one? I can. So he just destroyed the American healthcare system, the greatest in the world. And you'd say, all right, that would be enough for any president. He's tried a number of things. Let me try to fix this before I go on to the next agenda item. That is not how a revolutionary socialist works. A revolutionary socialist, however incompetent his programs, continues down the road until he is thrown out of office or arrested. Now, he's never going to be arrested because he hasn't committed any crimes other than the crime of sedition. But no one's going to believe that. No one's going to believe that, whether it's purging combat generals in the military, rendering us almost incapable of defending ourselves, or destroying the greatest healthcare system in the world. That's not enough for him. No. Now he's got to go after destroying our immigration system once and for all, rendering it meaningless, opening the floodgates to the families of the 30 million who are here already, to the point where this will be North Mexico. And then what? Is it going to be a better nation or a worse nation? Did you always want to live in Mexico? Is that why they flee from Mexico to here, because that's a better country? No common sense. So you say, well, wait a minute. How could a guy like Mark Zuckerface be in favor of amnesty if it's so bad? How could that wonderful genius, who's 27 years old and made billions of dollars, he must know more than you, Savage. You sure of that? You sure that Zuckerface knows more than me? You sure that Zuckerface, because he wears an undershirt, knows more than I do? You sure of that, huh? Zuckerface is doing it because Zuckerface, in my opinion, was told, okay, you and your undershirt-wearing creeps from Silicon Valley want cheap labor in the form of B-1B visas, but you can't have it unless you grant the bigger picture of low-skilled workers, because that's what we need for our Hyatt hotel chains. That's what we need for our Marriott hotel chains. That's what we need for all of our hotel chains. That's what we need for our restaurants. That we need for our garbage companies. That's what we need for our giant agribusiness. So, Zuckerface, if you want the B-1Bs, you have to support and march in solidarity with La Raza, like you're one of the poor, like you're down. You're down with the poor, Zuckerface. So there he marched. Mr. Schmuck marched with all of them a few weeks ago, like he knows what he's talking about. And so the fix is in. So how do you stop them when the Republicans want the same thing? There's no opposition party. How many years have I told you? How many years have I preached it's a one-party system, two-card Monty? The Republicans don't care that they will be perennially voted out of office. You think that matters to them. What you don't understand is that they'll still be in business. Even a minority party is still in business, because they have a very important role to play of completing the charade. So even though they may not ever be in power again after amnesty, what you don't understand is they'll still be able to get billions of dollars in slush funds. Trillions of dollars will flow their way over the years, even if they're a minority party, to keep their machine alive, because that machine needs to be kept alive for the charade of a two-party system with choice for the stooges out there called us. So it doesn't matter to the Republicans if they lose forever. You think that they're in to win, but you know they're not in it to win. It doesn't matter to them whether they win. I'm trying to explain this to you. Many of you say, oh, if they win, oh, yeah, oh, if they win,
You mean like when we had Bush, things were wonderful? Well, by comparison, yes, but things were wonderful when Bush was president. In some regards, yes. National security, oh, I slept better. Oh, did I sleep better? Oh, did I sleep better? Then we had a voice of Mitch McConnell. Remember him? Remember the staunch conservative Mitch McConnell? Remember what happened with the dam to nowhere in his state? The billion-dollar dam to nowhere? The Kentucky boondoggle? You forgot it was a few weeks ago. Remember that? How he sold us out for that one? So that was your Republican leadership. So tell me what's left. Who do you have a hope in? Well, I understand you have a hope in a guy like Ted Cruz, who is never going to, I'm telling you right now, no matter what you think, wonderful man, good ideas, he cannot become president. He cannot win. I say, oh, okay, well, because you keep saying that he can't win. No, don't blame me. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm a realist when it comes to politics. I'm just a realist. And I don't want to go into who can win. I'm just telling you what the situation is. As we speak, they are laying the plans for the final blow to America's sovereignty. And then after that, he will not be through anyway. He'll now go after your Second Amendment. Mark my words, in the next 3 years, he'll make a move to take your guns away from you. And then, the deluge.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
You believe in big government? That's what you vote for. You're perfectly fine to vote for whatever you want.
Mark Levin.
But if you think I'm going to shut up over it, you're dead wrong.
Weekdays at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the third hour of The Savage Nation for tonight, Thursday, November 7th, 2013. You know, many people are really depressed today after the elections. Why? You have a naked socialist who won in New York, 73%. The man's rhetoric is right out of Karl Marx or Fidel Castro. It's no different. Think about what I'm saying about de Blasio, I mean, whose real name is Wilhelm. Think about this. The voters waved in, ushered in a Castroite in Manhattan. We have a Leninista in the White House. We have a middle-of-the-roader in New Jersey. We have Quislings in the Republican Party. People are very depressed. They see what's coming. They don't know what to do about it. Meanwhile, on MichaelSavage.com, I know what to do about it. There's a picture of Teddy and I in a 1970 blue Jaguar XKE. We're moving to drive time together on January 1st, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 12 to 3 p.m. Western, and everything in between. Be here for our inaugural show. There'll be champagne for all. That is verbal champagne for all. Top story on Michael Savage, voters reject soda taxes again. Common sense prevailed. This time, by the way, this is an interesting story. Voters rejected soda taxes again in Telluride, Colorado. They defeated a ballot measure to tax soft drinks. The same happened in Maine, California, and Washington before them. Now listen to this. They're trying to do it in San Francisco next. A dope with the name of Anthony Weiner's brother there is trying to do what was rejected in every state that tried it. There's no end to little sister trying to control your life. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, Obama's very sorry. He's very sorry that you can't keep your health plan initially. And look who he's talking to, a stooge from Politico. His pet, his media pet, the guy with a pseudo goatee there. They should shave his goatee off him on Politico. He's not worthy of being a man with a goatee. Nobody should be able to wear a goatee who is as servile as this creep from Politico. Meanwhile, there's so much more news, and I'm not talking about Obamacare. So Twitter comes out. It's lost hundreds of millions of dollars. The stock trades at a phenomenal price. Phenomenal price. It closes at $44.90 a share when it opened at $26 a share. Tell me who the insiders are who got the IPO. How is that possible for a company that's losing money? How is it possible?
because the roller coaster of Wall Street is being generated by the gangsters who put Obama in power. The same gangsters who busted us out in 08 and brought us Obama are at it again. Do you think he came out of nowhere? Do you think these progressives come out of nowhere? Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, our troops are being shot in the back by Afghan policemen. The British troops are being shot by these. If you take a look at the picture of this heroic-looking British soldier, moments before he was shot dead by the piece of garbage, this filthy subhuman Afghani who shot him in the back, you'll know everything there is to know about what's going on with the boys who have the guts to defend our way of life. Meanwhile, life goes on. A man has skydove on his 100th birthday. What guts that took. De Blasio had three different legal names. Did you know that? De Blasio used his kids for his campaign. De Blasio's wife, a former lesbian, opened up about falling in love with a man. De Blasio to raise taxes and cuff the police. Other than that, life is really good. People are wonderful and business is terrible. It's a progressive's dream. We are on the brink, my friends. We are on the brink, my friends. But the people themselves are good. The other day, seven first-class passengers got up out of their seats on an airplane and gave their first-class seats to Marines returning from Afghanistan. God bless the American people. I want to play a little bit more of this wonderful music that I love so much. Let's have a little more of the great Cuban music that we pulled for you today on the Savage Nation. How about Mi Chiquita by Benny More on the Savage Nation? What's in a name? This guy is one of the greatest singers in the history of the island of Cuba. He was known professionally as Benny More, Bartolome Maximiliano More Gutierrez. And he was an African Cuban, and he had an all-black band that was as good as any band you've ever heard in the world. Energy like you've never heard in your life. And let me tell you why I'm playing it, because all of that died after Castro came to power. Their energy died, their voices died. And the fact is, I'm asking you again a simple question. Do you feel a sort of depression in the air? I'm not talking to those of you who are on welfare. I'm talking about those of you who are business people. I'm talking about those of you who pay taxes. I'm talking about those of you who see what's going on and have a vision of the future. If you've built a small business, whether it be a beauty parlor or a pizza store, you have a little vision. You have a vision of what would happen if you saved your money and invested your money and borrowed the money and put it into a business. And yet you see what's going on, whether it be in New York or the nation. What do you see coming down the road? Do you feel that's as bad as I see it, or do you think that I'm overplaying this? And then I'm going to go into the medical side of this, because that's where I really want to go. What do you do to handle depression or dark moods in your life without medication? Have you tried anything that really did work? Because I'll give you some hints tonight. Many of you are addicted to Prozac and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs. I'm totally opposed to them because there have been too many heroic suicides and homicides with people who overreact or, let us say, counterreact to these drugs after a period of time. They go ballistic. All these shootings we're seeing in the country related to drugs, almost all of them were drug addicts, SSRI, Prozac-related. And the media won't report that. And yet there are natural substances that can be used which will change your mood. They've been known from the beginning of time, some of them, and some have not been known from the beginning of time. As I told you, and I'm going to tell you again, and I have nothing to hide about this, because of things in my nature, and I'm not going to go into it with the maudlin business, I have been fighting depression since I'm a child, and I've always been happy-go-lucky. I've always found a way out of it. No matter how down I've ever gone, I've always found a way up. That's what most good performers feel, by the way. And make no mistake about it, although I'm on the radio and I'm typecast in a certain direction, I'm fundamentally a nightly performer. This is a nightly performance. Largely political, yes. But it goes well beyond politics. As you know, it's news, views, and reviews. And it's going to be more of that because I can do it and I'm going to do it. Ever since I've been a child, I've had these moods, these dark moods. They come and they go. And I get out of them. And as I got older, I found nutritional, let me put it to you this way, in plain English, running, we know that. Exercise, we know that. Everyone knows this. If you're a healthy person, you know how to do it. You don't feel good, you don't stay in bed, right? Well, the best way to fight a depression is vitamin C crystals. Laugh if you want. Laugh at your own demise. I really don't care. You see, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, is a very small molecule. It's literally about the same size as sugar, or it doesn't have the same effects as sugar. The fact of the matter is that ascorbic acid crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin does. I don't know if you know this. There are many ex-heroin addicts who know what I'm talking about. In fact, many, many years ago, when I was in this field of neurobiology and neurochemistry, I told you, I wrote a small book called Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, and I spent a lot of time studying brain scans, a lot of time studying the brain. I don't claim to be the greatest genius in the world in it, but I have a reasonably good intelligence, and I got to the bottom of the literature, and I discovered something interesting. There was a hospital in the Bronx at that time that picked up my book, Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, by the way. And then they looked back at some other book I had written, which was called, Getting Off Cocaine in 30 Days. I remember the book. Now, I did write a small book on it. I've written so many books because I've been in so many areas. And they said to me that the program worked, and it worked very well for people who were addicted to heroin at the time. Now, the reason it worked is because vitamin C is a very powerful antidepressant. In addition to that, many other phenomenal qualities. It's one of the reasons the medical establishment has tried to debunk it. After the great genius of vitamin C therapy, Linus Pauling, died, the Lilliputians at the Mayo Clinic and elsewhere ran false studies using either doses that were too low or inactive sources of it, and they said, oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't prevent colds. It doesn't do this. What do you use in your life to fight depression? I'm asking a simple question. And while you're calling me at 855-400-7282, what do you do it? I want to play a little bit more of my great music tonight, my music, the music we found. My grandmother never spoke a word of English in her life. Would you believe that? Remember, I'm an immigrant son. I am a true American in that regard. And I have one foot in the old country, one foot in the new country. And I'm not a spring chicken in that regard, but I remember very, very well that my grandparents, my parents for sure, never said a negative word about America. Never once, although they struggled, they were poor, they never put this country down. They never had contempt for this country. I won't say they ran around and put flags out of the window. I'm not going to put it in that regard. They struggled too hard to have that love affair, that type of love affair that you see in movies of the immigrant people. But they loved the country because they knew that they would wait and then their son, their man-child in the promised land, would have his piece of the pie, meaning me. Well, let me tell you what happened without complaining again. I was thrown off track for 40 years by the socialists, by the social engineers, who said, you know what? Yeah, you got an A average, you got a PhD from Berkeley, you got a great degree, you've written 6 books, but you know what? Oh, and you got 2 children and you're an older guy, but you're not getting a job. We're not giving it to you because we got affirmative action now. We got to give it to people with less qualifications, drop dead. It took me 30 years to overcome that. Lesser men would have died. They would have snapped. They would have rolled over and died, but I didn't because I am an immigrant son and I have a push card in my soul. You understand that? I am a street weed. I am the weed that grows up between the cracks in the pavement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is like having a really good product in a store and the cash registers don't work.
Yeah.
What stops with me?
The buck stops with you, sure. Harry B. Obama. It's amazing how we can get away with it. It's astounding. It's just astounding to me. 9 gambling casinos are going to open in New York State. You hear? There's no end to this. The corruption, the naked corruption, the graft and the corruption in this administration. These Democrats are the dirtiest I've ever seen in my life, and they're stupid. They're not. James Simpson of Accuracy and Media wrote a great article today. He says, Grand Theft Obama, the biggest heist in U.S. history. He said, our nation is being stolen right before our eyes. The American people are being robbed of their livelihoods, their security, and their freedom. President Obama, he writes, makes grand sweeping gestures and delivers soaring rhetoric about helping the poor and achieving fairness. But he merely draws our attention away from the hand that is reaching deep into our pockets, and he goes on. And I'm not going to go into the Obamacare scam. We know that that's Castro care. I've said it for 3 years now. But the police state that's emerging is the thing that should bother you. The police state of these goons, the police state under this Al Capone-like administration, while they're fleecing us, paying off his cronies, debt limit brinkmanship, the green job scam. Do you know how much money has been stolen under the scam of green jobs? Do you know how much? Well, green energy, about $150 billion that we know of has been stolen with no results whatsoever. Okay, you want to go down the list? How about the company that built the Obamacare website for $700 million and is now being given, I don't know, $93 million to fix the website that they broke? Who is that person? The man is an Obama donor. It's astounding that at any other time, this would have landed the FBI at their doorstep. But the FBI was, a long time ago, brought to heel, as the military is being brought to heel through the firing and the purging of the combat generals. The voter manipulation. The voter manipulation alone should worry even the most blasé individual out there. No voter ID laws. People can vote three times. Illegal aliens vote in this country. The election was stolen, as you know, in Virginia by permitting illegal aliens to vote against Cuccinelli and by running a fake third-party candidate who was funded by a Democrat donor. This is something that you would have seen in a South American nation not too long ago. And it's going on right now under this wonderful man called Barack Obama. And he gets away with it because his fellow travelers in the media like what he's doing. Do you understand that? They want America transformed. So anyway, I didn't want to go there. But it leads there. It leads there. I know people who are self-made, very wealthy. They've worked all their lives, and they're depressed. They never, ever talked about it in their lives. They feel it. Because you see, if they have the vision to have made a fortune through hard work, then they have the vision to see what's coming in America under these demagogues. They're signaling what they're doing, and they're doing it. Well, why go on and on about it? You say, what can you do about it? Well, there's another element to it, which is the straight-out criminal element. I remember a scene, many scenes. Unfortunately for you, I watch too many movies. I have to admit it. As you know, I'm a part-time fiction writer. I've had two bestsellers, Abuse of Power and A Time for War. They're very good books. And as a result of my watching movies, too many movies, I admit, ever since I'm a little boy, maybe I should have been in the movie business altogether because I do like fantasy. And sometimes I have to stop myself and say, am I imagining what I see, or am I seeing, and is this not an imagination? In other words, what I see going on with Obama, I ask myself, because I'm willing to open myself up to self-doubt. In order for me to do the show every night, I can't just get up here like a robot and spit it out. I got to ask myself, how much of this is real? How much of this is imagined? And so I say to myself, is this as bad as I think it is under Obama? And unfortunately, my conclusion is it's much worse.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, we're all worried about this administration. We know how dangerous and corrupt they are and how dictatorial they are. Is talk radio going to survive? A recent article in the Radio and Television Business Report entitled Conservative Talk Radio in the Obama Era talks about how Obama's FCC is looking into a report on, listen to this, a remarkably wide range of information on demographics, point of view, news topic selection, management style, and other factors in news organizations, both in and out of the FCC's traditional purview, close quote. What the hell does that mean? Joining us now from the Radio and Television Business Report is Tom Tradup with a look into this crazy, sinister-sounding, you know, analysis by the Obamas. What are they doing? Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here. I always like updating people on borders, language, and culture.
What are they trying to do here?
Well, the crux of what concerns me the most about what I wrote about in RBR is that the FCC and you're very familiar with them, of course, they are proposing something called a multi-market study of critical information needs. That's a big mouthful, which basically says that they're going to have a field study done on an individual radio station as yet unnamed. And once they do that, they're going to prepare to roll out nationally in newsrooms around the country, basically radio newsrooms like the stations that carry the Savage Nation, with an eye toward a comprehensive study, I'm using their words, a remarkably wide range of information on demographics, point of view, news topic selection, management style, and other factors in news organizations, both in and out of what most of us think of the traditional purview of the FCC. Now, you know, we all think of the FCC as the people who issue licenses to radio stations, who see to it that there aren't the seven dirty words that George Carlin got in trouble for using on the air. I think none of us have a big problem with protecting young people or even older people like you and me from hearing cuss words all the time on the radio. But when you start thinking about the FCC or any arm of the federal government reaching their clammy hands into a radio newsroom and asking how stories are selected or talking about management style, then it starts to get, as you would say, a little bit of a slippery slope.
Are they getting ready to censor talk radio and the media? This sounds very much like Chavez or Big Brother.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if it were not so, put it this way, it's one of those things that if it were not so filtered against recent events, it would be laughable. You know, it's so Orwellian, it's so 1984-ish that people would just laugh at it. But then when you consider the NSA spying on civilians, or you think about the Obama administration and their reviewing, I love that word, the phone records of the Associated Press reporters, or now the documented lying by the president himself on issues like you can keep your health care if you like it. Oops, you can't keep your health care. I mean, the documented lies that you talk about are irrefutable. So at that point, even though it sounds nutty, what can we safely dismiss? I think we have to always be vigilant against government overreaching. And believe me, the newspapers will hide behind the First Amendment, and I think even TV news organizations don't have much to worry about this. But radio stations around the country, if people start digging through their files or deciding what their management styles are, guess what their management styles are? Most radio stations are run by conservatives. Most talk shows are conservatives, like yours. And that's just how the marketplace has come to be. It's not because of some draconian decision by some unnamed person. I mean, we put out there a number of radio stations over the years, including the famous Air America Network with Al Franken and people like that on it. It was a colossal failure, and liberal talk radio just doesn't work. But now they want to use this backdoor, apparently, backdoor way of getting into radio stations and start tinkering with how news is selected and what the management style is. I happen to be a manager myself, and I personally wouldn't want people voting on my management style. My management style is pretty draconian and almost like Perry White on the old Superman TV show. You know, do it my way or get out. It doesn't make me a bad guy. I'm a pretty good manager. But I don't want people voting in Washington on whether I have a good management style or not.
What's the inside story on this?
Yeah, people all across the spectrum tell me that they are worried about it. They're surprised that there aren't more people kicking up a fuss about this. This was first proposed back in April or May, but it's hidden in the bowels of one of these long FCC notices, and not a lot of people other than industry trade publications like Radio Television Business Report or Al Peterson or some of these other, you know, inside radio type publications spend a lot of time going through the X's and O's of these things. So they fly under the radar, and it's very much like what happened with Obamacare. On the surface, Americans seem to like the idea of getting free health care. I like getting things for free. It'd be nice if I could go into a five-star restaurant and they'd say there's no charge tonight for my steak and my baked potato. But that just isn't life. So people like the concept. Then when they start getting into the details, oops, I'm losing my health care. Oops, I can't go to my doctor. Oops, they're telling me I now have to be part of a state exchange, and they're going to tell me which days I can go see the podiatrist or whatever the particulars are. That's where, as you would say, the devil is in the details. And I think that's the problem. More and more people are telling me they don't know if this is going to come to pass or not, but we know from the past when they had the fairness doctrine, we know from the past that the attacks on talk radio, which are many and varied, you remember Bill Clinton basically laying the blame for the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building at the feet of Rush Limbaugh. They said his anti-government rhetoric may have set off Timothy McVeigh. There was an interview not too long ago with President Obama talking with Harry Smith from CBS News, and he talked about all the vitriol that he has to face. You know, Michael, you'd almost think that guys who are, at least on paper, the most powerful men in the free world would not have to worry about little verbal broadsides being thrown at them by radio talk show hosts. Hopefully we don't pose a big threat to the body politic, but they get so hysterical and they're so over the top in their criticism of what we do that I think, frankly, the more they attack us, the stronger we get.
Are they only focused on conservative talk radio?
Well, because conservative talk radio is really, and at the end of the day, let's face it, there's no debate about this, it's the last bastion of unrehearsed, unfettered, open communication between people like yourself and the American people. There's nobody telling you what to say. There's nobody telling you what topics to select. You throw things out. I've heard you do shows about cutting-edge topics that are spine-tingling, and I've heard you talk about a good red wine and a bruschetta. You know, you talk about what you want to talk about. That's the way radio ought to be run. The marketplace then decides if people don't want to hear you talking about food, they vote with their push buttons and go somewhere else. But over the years, you've amassed an audience, as has the Rush Limbaughs or Bill Bennett's or various other people up and down the dial. And most of the people who are successful in talk radio, there may be a few anomalies around the country or in an individual market, but the vast majority of people who are successful are conservative talk show hosts. And that's because although the format attracts an audience that historically is older and maler and whiter and more conservative than politics as a whole, the fact is that we are not what critics level at us, which is it's a bunch of angry and ill-informed men and women and militia members and crackpots who gather around the radio to subtract from the sum total of human knowledge. People who listen to talk radio are smart, they're politically active, and I think, frankly, from what we've seen, even in Virginia on Tuesday, where Ken Cuccinelli didn't make it, but he came from being down by double digits and almost won the governorship purely by making it a referendum on Obamacare, that scares politicians. What you do makes you the most dangerous man in America.
Well, what do you think their next chess move is going to be?
I don't know. I'm not the amazing Kreskin. I can't tell you whether this FCC proposal is going to go anywhere. But what I know is whether it does or not, there will be other attempts to muzzle us. And there will be people who try to portray conservative talk radio and what you do on the Savage Nation or what a Mike Gallagher or a Rush Limbaugh or anybody else up and down the dial may do as being right-wing or crazy or a danger. And all I can say is I've seen this picture, and it always ends the same way. The liberals never give up. The problem with conservatives, I'm not talking about talk radio, but I'm talking in general, whether it's Republicans or conservatives on the political scene, the problem with conservatives is they always turn on each other. They don't unite. And it would be great if all the conservative talk show hosts united, but by the very nature of what you do, Michael, that's not going to happen. You don't have to agree with Rush or Sean or Glenn Beck or anybody else. You're you. And I think that's why people like talk radio. They hear the real deal, they hear original thought, and there's so much of it that if they don't like it, again, they vote with their push button. And hopefully, you know, at the end of the day, we find out that this is just the latest in a number of failed attempts to kill talk radio. They haven't killed us yet. There's still a lot of lives left in this cat.
Tom Tratip, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
All right, it's my pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Yeah.
We'll get there, Michael. Don't worry. One day there'll be Governor Savage, be Senator Savage. Just think, we'll have gambling casinos in New York State. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, we'll get there. We'll have Obamacare. We'll get there one day, Michael. Don't worry. Once we get the medical system, there's no limits to what we can scam. Don't worry about it. $10,000 for an aspirin won't be too much. Trust me.
That's just a joke. Just a joke, you understand. I like to joke around. I like to joke around. That's all. It's the Savage Nation. If you care to join this conversation, it's 855-407-282. You know where I'm coming from politically, and I've been typecast, so I'm not going to change it because that's who I am. But, as you well know, I will not get stuck on politics because they're boring at a certain point, especially if you keep beating a drum with one stick on one drum over and over again. So I would rather do my news, views, and reviews. That's why I'm trying to bring you some music tonight, some movie, you know, an older movie tonight, mixed with politics, because otherwise I can't go on with this. And for those of you who are confused and don't know what I'm talking about, those of you who say, well, I'm a liberal and I think people have a right to medical care, people have a right to a house, people have a right to education, people have a right to this. Can I ask you something? Does anyone have a right to your labor? Is there a right to sex change operations? It's all political. There's no right if you're a man to say you want to be a woman. You can walk around and say that to yourself, but you don't have a right to demand I pay for that mutilation, do you? Look, you're going to find out that I'm right when you're lying in a hospital bed years from now and you're suffering from a disease, let's say, a condition that's easily treatable. But you might be over the age of 67, or you don't fit some other government-mandated formula, and then your right to live may suddenly cease, and then you will have your death sentence. And while you're laying there dying because the government won't treat you because you didn't meet the right quota, somebody else who's deeply connected to the Democrat machine will be getting a facelift or gender reassignment surgery while you die on a stretcher. So while you're there screaming against the Tea Party, you should understand that your last great hope in this country are people like yourself who understand that the system is totally broken and corrupt. And the Tea Party are people like you who want some honesty in government. Do you understand that? That's the whole story. That's the whole story in a nutshell. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. I'm ready to take some calls. I don't think I took many. I took only one. And if you want to talk, this is the place to do it. I just don't want any kind of pretentious contempt for the Tea Party on the show. I could do without it. I listen to it all day long on the channels that I flip in and out of. I can't watch it. They don't know what they're talking about. Where is the pretentious contempt for Obama, who's the biggest fraud in the history of government? Why isn't there any pretentious contempt from the liberals who think they're so smart because they put out sophomoric, they sound like they're at a sorority party, you know, sneering at everybody. Whatever. 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 And now if you think that they're going to stop the coach they're driving, you're mistaken. As I speak to you, that sellout turncoat Tom McCann, who should be selling shoes, not selling amnesty, is right there with Obama right now eating, talking about putting the final knife into the bull of America. The final knife into our heart. Passing amnesty so the fat cats can have cheap labor and so that the Democrats can have an eternal party plurality. Now, if you think I don't like immigrants, you're mistaken. I'm an immigrant son. So I ask you, borders, language, and culture, can you tell me that you could seriously say that this nation is run by patriotic governors and patriotic Senate, patriotic president? Well, there are some, obviously. Obviously, there are some, but generally not, and that is why we're talking about it tonight. That is why I tell you many people are depressed. Victor in Miami, Florida,
Victor, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're listening on what, WFTL or what? Where are you listening, Victor? Welcome to the program.
Maybe the last 6 months, and I agree most of the things that you say. And now you talk about my country, Cuba. What you say is the real truth. All the good music, all the good things, all going from Cuba since the communists took over. Cuba is like a desert. Cuba is something horrible. When they took over, they destroyed my island. The beauty.
That's right. They destroyed the spirit of the wonderful Cuban people. They took their heart out of them. It's exactly what I see going on in this country, Victor. You can almost feel it through the music in America. It was once a bold music. It was a music that was bold and masculine. And look what the music has become wherever you go in America. It's whiny chick music. Every department store, every elevator, whiny chicks whining about something. Where is America? You can hear it in the music. It didn't start under Obama, but boy, has it escalated.
Oh, this president is destroying, is doing the same thing Castro started to do in Cuba 54 years ago. The same thing is happening.
See that? You know, Victor, I'm really glad you called because I see it and I hear it. And that's exactly why I am doing this show tonight. I'm trying to change up the pace. People talk about it from different perspectives. I have to do it from, you know what the Cuban, what the Spanish word la duende means, Victor?
Yes.
What does la duende mean in Spanish? Do you know what la duende means?
Yes.
No, what do you think it means, la duende? Could you tell, do you know what that means in English?
What is?
I don't think so. It's a very complicated word. La duende means the soul. That's what it means, basically. It's a translation, a loose translation, la duende. And either a piece of music has la duende or it doesn't. In other words, it could be flat music with no heart, no soul, or it could have a soul or a spirit in it, right? It's the same with everything in the world, whether it be a piece of writing, it could be a piece of talking, a piece of singing, a piece of dancing. Either it's stiff or it has soul. Romney would be somebody who had no duende, for example, right? Strangely enough, as flawed as Christie is, the people liked him because he looked like he had a heart and soul. Honest to God, that really happened. And the fact is that we're talking about depression in America tonight on the Savage Nation, heard on 200 stations, and it will be going on to more stations in Major League prime time beginning January 1st. And by the way, I'm not going to change my show. If I come into the show a day like tonight, and I don't feel very good for a number of reasons, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to put on a ha-ha face and a ha-ha voice. What I'm trying to say to you is America is going now where Cuba went when Castro and his cohort gangsters took over Cuba. It's exactly the same rhetoric that we heard in the campaign in New York City, which was get the rich, we want equality. In other words, it's class warfare. Castro used it, Lenin used it, Marx used it, Trotsky used it, Chavez used it, Obama uses it. Fugazi used it.